Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Variety, celebrating more than 115 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
We're about to announce a whole round of nominations. So many new Emmys coming your way in just a few short months.
Well, let's get to it.
The 2022 Primetime Emmy nominations were announced on Tuesday, July 12. Succession led all with 25 nominations, followed by Ted Lasso and The White Lotus, both with 20. There's a lot to discuss, and it all comes next on this special mega roundtable edition of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Hey, everybody, look who's back. Back again. Tell a friend. It's Michael Schneider, along with Emily Longaretta, Clayton Davis, Jazz Tankay. We are recording.
I missed you so much.
This the day after Emmy nominations, so everyone is at their best.
We also look our best. I've never looked as good as I do today.
Well, you do not look tired at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why we do a podcast, right? So we don't have to worry about people seeing our faces.
Yeah. Well, Clayton's always looking fresh.
Listen, I saw the Emily pictures from Florida. Don't even talk to me about looking good. Emily, like, went in Florida.
Better believe it. She came out a broken woman.
That is true. Oh, but she told me her promise.
Very true.
Well, here we are. We have the nominations in place. We now know it's quite a list. So we'll go into it. We're going to do a mega edition of the roundtable today because it's really what the people want. They're like, we're fine with the interviews, but it really is all about you four talking about the Emmys and the nominations and everything else. And it was quite a day, quite a list, a mix of surprises, not so surprises, plenty of quote unquote snubs. And of course, my favorite part of the snubs is the fact that this year, everyone wanted to be on the snub list. That was like the hot ticket. It's like, if I'm not going to get nominated, I better be worthy enough to get on the snub list. And, maybe they'll
I have never seen so many emails being like, can you include them? I'm like, they want to be included. Like, I'm very confused.
I'm sure they asked you to do this too, also.
Right. They want to be on some sort of list. So if they didn't make the snub list, then I guess they can make the I was snubbed off the snub list. That's like the it's a sub snub. I just coined that trademark. Well, incredible. Where should we begin? I mean, there's so much to talk about. Maybe we should start by just like our favorites and our shockers, and then we'll kind of go into the categories and dive deeper. But I'd love to hear first off just everyone's favorite nomination of the morning and the one that sort of either warmed your heart or shocked you or surprised you, delighted you, et cetera, before we kind of get into the nitty gritty. So, Emily, do you have one that stands out?
Well, I won't take yours because I know who yours is going to be, and I feel like you really deserve to have this one because you've really put in the work here. I will say one that stood out to me that really surprised me in a very good way would be Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult both for The Great, because they have never really gotten the love that they deserve for that, and I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, and especially not for first season. It's like suddenly Emmy voters discovered The Great, which is interesting.
I'm curious if her kind of push for Plainville, which she was pushing harder for, kind of made people be like, wow, she's really good, and maybe we forget because there are so many other shows on, and then The Great obviously just has a bigger impact.
The food is much better this season. That's what it was in The Great, not in the Emmy campaign itself.
Jazz, what about you? Who was your exciting one?
I have to say I squealed when Christina Ricci was nominated. I mean, I love Yellow Jackets and Christina in that show, and that was the one that made me very, very happy. But also seeing Michelle Visage get a nomination for What You're Packing, which is, I thought it was a small show, but actually the Emmy voters loved it. So that was a delightful surprise.
Yeah, that's always interesting seeing those side projects and what gets nominated there too. And some of which end up in one short form category, some in others, and some are attributed to YouTube and some are attributed to the actual network. It is kind of still all over the map. Clayton, how about you?
Oh, I mean, it's really easy. I mean, Real World. I mean, wait, no, not Real World. Selena Gomez. No, not Selena Gomez. After Party. Oh. No, not After Party either. Oh, God, it's so many to choose from. No, honestly, of the things I could be happy about, Jazz kind of took mine. It was Christina Ricci. But I think Sebastian Stan for Pam and Tommy. Because he was never a solid given thing. And he squeaked in. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of us. It's one of the few things I'm proud of in this world.
Well, Pam and Tommy was not, I mean, right?
None of us thought that it was going to be have that kind of impact. And then it was like, just came powering through.
I had it at 11. I was ranked 11. What a day.
But you didn't realize it was going to get 10 nominations.
Well, I justified it in my head. You know, it's funny. I had the writings were there because I had told myself if I had Sebastian Stan and Lily James, that I had to probably put Pam and Tommy into the five. So I had to justify it. So that's why I predicted Lily James to miss. So I could not put Pam and Tommy in the five, even though I thought it deserved to be there. But I just didn't think people were going to do it. And then, ergo, here we are.
All right, Mike, you got to share yours.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, first and foremost, Hollywood does not have to burn. So we did it. We did it, Joe. We got Ray Sehorn her nomination. So
for Cooper's Bar.
Cheers. Yes, for Cooper's Bar.
Yep.
I mean,
way overdue.
She's a double nominee. How about that? We over delivered. So now just the campaign begins to make sure that Ray thanks us when it comes time for her acceptance speech on stage. But nonetheless, that was exciting to see. But you know, there are a couple of others that were also very exciting to see. Seth Meyers, nice to see that. And then the long shot that I was really excited to see was Himesh Patel for Station 11, which was that you know, little show that really, you know, I didn't think anyone watched, and it turns out, yeah, enough people did watch to get some love for that. So that was great.
Yeah, I was happy. I mean, Station 11 overall got, what, 7 noms? So that was impressive to me. I always get excited when a show like that pulls through a little.
Yeah, I would say what overall, like, I think what was surprising were the tallies of all the shows. Like, not very many shows didn't break double digits in a major way, which is both the problem with today's world and the Emmys. But you would never, like, Lizzo, Watch for the Big Girl, 6 nominations. Like,
yeah,
good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's Amazon's like saving grace, along with Mrs. Maisel. They overperformed with that. And yeah, you're right. It is like a world of haves and have-nots, and that's kind of a problem going forward. And don't know what the answer is for that.
Ooh,
though.
I do. Can I say it? I got it. All right. So besides the obvious is that they're not watching a lot of TV and they're being really lazy. The simple answer is right in front of us. Cap the number of shows and performances you can choose on the ballot. Right now, you can vote for everything you want. So make people make hard decisions. And I think that would alleviate a bunch of this already.
Yeah, that sounds complicated, though. Like, how do you sort of cap how many shows someone can vote for? Like
10. Just 10. Like, the Oscars do it. Just, like, have people, like or if you're going to make someone choose, make them rank preferential ranking.
Ooh.
And make stuff way more. But I think they should get, like, 10. Why do you need to vote for 50? Like, if you really love it, it's the best, then really assert yourself and say it's the best.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that would alleviate, like, the sheer number of, I mean, no offense to some of the supporting actors in, say, Ted Lasso or Succession, but they voted for everyone. Somehow, like, the craft services guy got nominated for guest actor. It's like, you weren't even on the show, but kudos.
No, it would, because, listen, in supporting categories limited, there are 14 spots. 8 went to White Lotus. 5 went to Dope Sick, and then Seth Rogen got one. That's it. That's it. Like, it would alleviate that issue. That's my take.
The solution right here.
It's right there.
I mean, it was like Succession, too. I felt like for Guest, it was like every single person that popped up on an episode of Succession this year was nominated for Guest.
And Hacks.
Well, not everyone. Devin Sawa was not. That's one of my sad ones.
Which, by the way, imagine you're Devin Sawa and Molly Shannon today.
Like, the only two people from Hacks and White Lotus that did not get nominated.
Like, we love you, but God, they must like be like, oh, I guess just not me. Okay, I get it. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. That makes the cast parties awfully awkward. You get a nomination. You get a nomination. You suck. You get a nomination.
Yep. So it's just rough.
All right. Well, let's get into the categories. Let's start talking specifics. Why don't we start with drama series? So we've got Better Call Saul, Euphoria, Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellow Jackets. So what did they miss?
Look, can I just say, when they went alphabetical order and then we got to Succession, I said, oh my God, Yellow Jackets didn't get nominated. Like, I literally had said that to myself. I'm pretty sure I said it out loud because I sat right next to Emily and I was so vocal in that room. I'm sure it was the worst, but that's how I get when I watch nominations.
Right, right. Because to you, it's Cello Jackets.
Yeah.
We needed an audio recording of you yesterday, because that was brilliant.
Yeah. It should have been great. But yeah, I mean, a pretty standard category. Like, in hindsight, it really isn't surprising that Yellowstone missed, because I stand by my theory that dramas coming back for, you know, a fourth season and never been embraced before, it's harder for you to catch up on that. And you can't just jump into Yellowstone. So you have
to. And it's, we've talked about this, it's not easy to find Yellowstone. People think it's, oh, I have to get Paramount Plus to see it. No, you have to get Peacock to watch old episodes. But if you're watching new episodes, you have to watch them on Paramount.
Paramount
That's
Network.
That's too complicated for Emmy voters.
I mean, honestly, we're in the industry and we are, it's complicated for us. So for any voters, it's going to be, it's like you said, it's so tough to catch up on a show 4 seasons in.
Yep.
Yeah.
But what's there is really good. I honestly don't believe there's a bad show in that lot. And I don't get to say that every year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, is at least, you know, there were going to be snubs. There are always going to be snubs, but the shows they picked, there's no Emily in Paris among the bunch.
Yeah.
Ooh, right.
Production design shade for Emily in Paris. But also,
at least for best drama.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, for Better Call Saul, though, I don't know if you noticed this, Mike, they did the exact opposite of Better Call Saul last time, where everyone that missed last time got it this time, and everyone that got it last time missed. They literally just like flipped the script.
So that means if everyone at least gets to say they were a nominee at some point.
At some point, yeah.
So
can we talk about the This Is Us miss?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised it missed in drama, to be honest. I'm surprised it missed
everywhere.
Mandy Moore. Everywhere. I'm livid. It hurts my heart that Mandy Moore didn't get nominated. It hurts it even more that her husband is the only nominee for the show. I just feel like that's just so messed up. Not that it's not well-deserved, but I mean, he wrote the song that she performed in the show that was incredible and, you know, very powerful and great, but the lack of This Is Us love for the final season bummed me out. Not many shows can go out on top, and I think it did.
Yeah, but I do think you're right in that it didn't surprise me in that most, especially broadcast shows, by the end of their runs, they are not Emmy contenders. I mean, there are rare exceptions of shows that go out on top, but most of them, by the time they're in the final season, ER, for example, you know, they're just not the same kind of contender they once were at the start, because people have kind of moved on. So, unfortunately, I'm not shocked by that or by Blackish, you know, being missing from comedy series. As much as, you know, Tracy Ellis Ross and Anthony Anderson felt like obvious, you know, when you look at voters and how they generally stick with the same-o, because Curb Your Enthusiasm is still in comedy series, which shows that, you know, the voters do like that. They do have their habits. They do stick with it. So it is odd that Blackish isn't there, but at the same time, you can argue, well, it was going out, and so people have already moved on. Maybe a portion of voters thought the show was already gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, my go-to is, like, what is it? Friends didn't win series until season 8. So it's like, how did Blackish not get at that now? Like, to me, it just doesn't. It doesn't really add up to me.
Well, here's the thing with like, and going back to This Is Us for a second, what made it surprising is that this was season 6. It only missed once in drama series in its entire run, and that was season 4. So if it was last year, then I would be like, okay, they're cool on it, they're over. But they like disinvited it and then invited it back, which Emmys don't do very often. Like, once they let go, they let go. We never saw Modern Family again. Like, it was later.
That's a great example of a show that, by its final season, same cast, but it was not an Emmy contender, even though it was an Emmy juggernaut early in its run. And so that's what you see more often than not with the broadcast shows, at least. But I would say, claim to that, last year was such an odd year because of the pandemic and because so many shows were on hiatus. And so that allowed something like This Is Us to squeeze back in. And now that shows are back in full force, there just wasn't room for it this year. Unless they had gone to 10 nominees per category.
Actually, did anyone notice no returning? Oh, but the returning drama series, neither of them got nominated. Bridgerton, This Is Us, both missed. And so no repeat nominees from last year.
Yeah, Maria, my lovely wife, not happy over the Bridgerton snub. That was one we didn't talk about much, but that was the first thing she asked me was, what's up with the Bridgerton snub?
It got a couple, right? But no acting. It got costume and hairstyle.
It got costume.
Yeah. I think you got one thing only, and that was, like, rough. Like, by the way,
the Nicholas... got three.
Oh, did it get three? Oh, I feel like
voiceover also, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Julie Andrews, yeah.
At least Julie Andrews still got something.
It's Julie Andrews. Yeah.
But now going to comedy now is where we're with Abbott, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, Ted Lasso, and What We Do in the Shadows. So, I don't know if anyone has noticed this, Curb Your Enthusiasm has gotten in every single time it's been on the air. It now stands second as the second most nominated comedy series of all time with All in the Family. In comedy series. It has 9 nominations.
Yeah, for its 10 years. That's actually wild.
It's bananas. Like, I don't know what Larry David saw that he's holding it over their heads. Whatever it is, man.
And there was no campaigning for this, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I saw anything for this.
No, I didn't even know when it aired. I was like, when did they, I knew it did.
No one knows when it airs.
No.
It's just a show everyone is so used to voting for that it just automatically gets in. Now, Larry David didn't get a nomination this year, so that is one change. He generally is on that list, too.
He's missed before. I mean, the nomination tally for Curb has plummeted since the beginning, but it keeps cracking into comedy series.
It's so crazy.
And listen,
I was a little bit...
That's a Kominsky method vote. The Chuck Lorre people, they're keeping that show alive. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm a little bummed about the lack of Atlanta. I'm not surprised, but I'm bummed about it.
Yeah. Longest hiatus. It made sense in hindsight.
But Marvelous Miss Maisel was off there for 3 years.
And more people were talking about Atlanta, though, I feel, right? Than Maisel.
I was more surprised that What We Do in the Shadows made it than Atlanta missing. Because this was like, even though What We Do in the Shadows made it 2 years ago, this was like a definitely impassioned season, like not as much passion for it. And obviously this newer one, people are like, it's a return to form. But I was surprised that it came back. But I mean, listen, what we have in front of us, though, bottom line, is a death match of a race. 5 of those 8 can win.
Wow. Well, I'll go back real quick to, what you were saying about What We Do in the Shadows. I agree in that it sort of felt like it had had its moment, kind of like Cobra Kai had had its moment. So I wasn't shocked by Cobra Kai not being there. And I thought, I wasn't expecting What We Do in the Shadows either. If it had been 6 months ago, I do think Reservation Dogs would have gotten that slot. For some reason, the momentum sort of dissipated a bit, maybe because it was a while ago that show was on. I wouldn't have been surprised if Res Dogs had gotten in. But I am surprised that What We Do in the Shadows got back in.
Yeah. Listen, I have to give a little bit of credit to awards campaigners and studios. There is an art form to keeping shows part of the conversation. That Succession, HBO has got it down packed. That show came out 30 years ago. You can tell me it was 30, I believe you. Right. It did. It was 30 years ago. Reservation Dogs and Squid Game came out right around the same time. Squid did fine. Squid actually maxed out everything that it was supposed to get. It got.
Yeah.
And then here you have Reservation Dogs that did not.
Stranger Things, meanwhile, going back to drama real quick. I mean, that's a testament to timing. I mean, for that to come back as strong as it did, even though it's been off the air again, I think about 20 years, because as we know, the kids are now 42, I think, on Stranger Things. But the fact that could come back and be such a phenomenon right at the right moment to solidify coming back with 13 nominations, solid.
But I think there is something to be said, like one major nomination, all the 12 were below in the creative arts categories, no acting. I'm not saying like it had a bad day, but like it should have got in for directing or writing. Like it should have been able to like just grab one of those.
That's true.
And Sadie Sink.
Yeah. I mean, Sadie Sink was always going to be a long shot. I know you're pushing for her, but...
I know. I didn't predict her for that reason. I knew it was like...
You're right about writing a drama. I think, it got the drama series. So that's, that's still a win for that. But
yeah.
I mean, by the time it comes back for its last season, there probably will be 10 categories for each. There'll probably be 10 shows for each category because it's probably going to be like in 20 years. So I mean, yeah, I would assume things will be very different.
It'll be the 100th Emmys by that point. So yeah. we could celebrate Stranger Things' return then.
Well, listen, let's celebrate Abbott Elementary for a second.
Oh. Yes.
And the fact that, our dreams came true. We managed to get both. Like we did this. But
We did.
But for Cheryl Lee Ralph and Janelle James to both be nominated, because our concern, of course, was it was going to be one or the other, or they were going to cancel each other out. And the fact that both got in was icing on the cake, with Quinta obviously getting, the love that she got for the show.
And so. Tyler James Williams. Yeah. Talk about left field, man.
Everybody so no longer hates Chris.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Tyler.
I was pleasantly surprised by him getting into that supporting category with the massive amount of Ted Lasso people in there. I was very thrilled that he could break in.
By the way, I wish Primetime Emmy noms, they would just say the supporting categories on the air. Like, what? Like, just say it. Like, they're actors. They're in the main show. We'll know who you're talking about. But I guess it looks bad when you just go Ted Lasso. But yeah, like Abbott, Quinta making history. First black woman to get nominated in all three comedy categories, which, by the way, one of my friends called and was like, I swore you got that stat wrong. Cause I was like, Issa Rae did it. And Insecure has never been nominated for writing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really happy for her. And I think the lack of broadcast love overall could have a ripple effect. And we might want to, and the industry might say, we don't want you to die broadcast here, Abbott Elementary. Win this all.
And it would deserve it.
I would love that. Yeah.
And where that,
I wouldn't be mad
where
about
that
it.
Could happen is if the key streamer shows all sort of cancel each other out. So it's a long shot because obviously Ted Lasso is still a juggernaut, as we saw. But if you do have Ted Lasso and Only Murders and Hacks kind of chipping away at each other, then yeah, I could see Abbott sort of sneaking in and perhaps getting it. That first season, it really comes down to how they campaign in phase two, and if it becomes a sort of a rallying cry to some degree. Like, how good would it feel if Abbott Elementary in its first year got the comedy win?
And I will say, Mike, and I said this to you yesterday, I think there is such a thing, and I'm looking at Hacks, I'm looking at Ted Lasso, I'm looking at Succession. I think there is such a thing as doing too well on nomination morning. I think some people may just want to do something else.
Yeah, if there's some blowback to, you know, you're over, like, indexing with us. We need to put a stop to that.
Like, four out of six guest actresses are from Hacks. Like, what like we are we doing? Okay, what are we doing here? Come on.
I mean, they're all great, though. That's
sure,
the thing.
Sure, but, like, come, like... I say when you show up that many times in the same category, you give off the air. Like, listen, we didn't talk about the Succession breaking the all-time acting record of 14 actors nominated. We can all agree Succession is a very, very good show. But when you say that, you insinuate you're the best acting showcase of all time. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah, over the West Wing.
Over the
that's
like,
the record
yes.
It broke. So come on.
Yeah, it was no, I'm sorry. They broke, yeah, it was West Wing and Drama, but they broke Roots overall record in 1977. Like, come on. Like, what are we doing? We can just spread the love. It's not all about one thing always.
Yeah. Well, it's tough because when you do have 600 shows and everyone has their favorites, there are only a few shows that are universally loved, and that's how a handful of shows rise to the top because we're all voting for different things except for Succession, except for Ted Lasso.
So. That's true. Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good segue into limited series talking about shows that bubble to the top.
Yeah. Well, White Lotus, of course. So limited or anthology series. We got Dope Sick. We got The Dropout. We got Inventing Anna, Pam and Tommy, and The White Lotus. Look at Hulu, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We knew Hulu was going to have a good day in limited, and they came to play with Dope Sick, Dropout, and then Pam and Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I said this yesterday to Emily and Cynthia. Like, yeah, HBO, Netflix had best day, but I think pound for pound quality, Hulu had the best day yesterday.
They had a strong
day.
Yeah,
I mean, look at how many new shows they had break in. Like, that's so impressive to me. Like, I mean, so many limited, but then you also had Only Murders get 17. So it's so impressive. I was so surprised Pam and Tommy got in there, but I was more surprised Inventing Anna got in there.
Emily made her body made a noise when they said Inventing Anna.
Like, I really did.
Like you were like, what?
I was pained by it. As someone who sat and watched all of it for fun. So I can't say I didn't watch it, but I just was shocked. I was not expecting it.
Should we call it Inventing Anna in Paris?
Yeah. Yeah. No, because this is better than that. But I will say it wasn't just that. It was just that. Yeah, it is.
I would say slightly better.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it wasn't just inventing Anna. It was that the Pam and Tommy came right after. And then
right,
you start saying stuff to you like, wait, what the hell is missing right now? I was like, no maid.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's rough.
But this goes back to what you were saying, that the campaign, the awards people behind Pam and Tommy, they did such a good job of putting it back in the ether. Because I feel like it totally disappeared from the conversation. And then, you know, towards the end, it was like, there were panels, and then people started talking about it again. And it shows even below the line, you know, where it got editing, makeup, costume,
except not design. Not prosthetics, Jazz.
I'm sorry. And not Jason Mantzoukas. What are we doing if we're putting Jason on a ballot?
Yeah, as the voice. I mean, that's the thing is, if you're going to go give Pam and Tommy 10 nominations, and yet Jason Mantzoukas as the voice of Tommy Lee's penis, and then the prosthetics team for pulling off that feat, I mean,
and all of Lily James, her whole body was prosthetic, so in her face, so it's like, how is that not nominated?
Right, that's...
Trash. Such trash.
Don't worry. Angeline got in there, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's okay.
Not that it's not well-deserved, because that's also, I'm not even convinced that that's Emmy Rossum's face, but regardless.
But go back to Inventing Anna real quick. I mean, we always talk about there are these certain stars who are just Emmy catnip, and Julia Garner is clearly one of them. The Academy loves her. And so, double nominee for Inventing Anna, and of course for Ozark, past winner, and
another accent,
two-time past winner.
So she kind of is the new Sarah Paulson to some degree.
Yeah, she's gearing up for that Madonna Oscar campaign already. It's coming. Like, I'm telling you, she's a great actress. Like this, she is the best part. She's what makes the show watchable, like by far. But it's interesting to see someone so young step into that Sarah Paulson space. Speaking of,
I think Sarah Paulson may have been my biggest surprise of the day.
I was
shocked. I don't know why. I just felt like Impeachment was 10 years ago, and I was like,
Emily, you're lying because you're not thinking about what it was. Because I heard the noise. It's when they said Reese Witherspoon. We all gasped in that room.
Right, because Aniston had been snubbed, and so all right, I guess that's it. Like,
what in what world are we living in? I'm not mad about it. I love Reese, but I was just not expecting it.
That was the jaw dropper of the day. Like, for me, acting-wise, I went, narf.
Well, that category, I mean, we talk about shows that are ending its run, and you assume that's the end of the line for Emmys, and no, I love Killing Eve, I love Sandra Oh, I love Jodie Comer, former Variety cover person, but for them to both be nominated this season?
That everyone hated. Like, be honest, people did not like the final season. So I get it, but also it's just familiarity. They were like, oh, yeah, we've done this before.
Lazy voting.
Yeah.
Right. Juliette
Lewis was right there.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just blown away by that. I was just not expecting it. I think that was it. It was just like not, I don't think that they don't deserve it. I just wasn't expecting so many people in that category. I wasn't expecting. I expected Mandy Moore there. I expected possibly Kelly Riley there. Like, I was just not expecting that.
Yeah. But at least Zendaya is there. So,
of course.
Oh, God, the world would have burned to the ground, right? To the ground.
We wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, it would have been. The comet would have came. God would have reset. It would have been fine.
By the way, TikTok would have torn down the TV Academy.
Oh, yeah. It would have been over. Over. Listen, four-time nominee Zendaya. Let's show some damn respect.
And two in music and lyrics, by the way.
Songwriter. Just going to drop her album. She's going to EGOT. Like, she's going to EGOT, like, soon.
Oh.
In the next, like, 5 years.
No doubt.
God.
I love the idea of her and Selena both. I was really bummed about Selena Gomez not being nominated for Only Murders, but obviously the show was still nominated and she's still a producer. And I love that, like, this rise of former Disney stars, like, coming to the Emmys and being like, look how far we've come.
Yeah. That is true.
Look at her now, as Selena would say.
So what are we going to do about the TV movie category? Like, what
listen,
are we doing?
What listen, are we going to do?
No, listen. Chippendale Rescue Rangers is there. And quietly,
yes.
Quietly was my favorite thing that happened yesterday. Like, so happy. Like, so happy.
Yeah.
Did you tweet this, Clayton? Because if you did, I'm going to retweet that right now.
So happy. Like, first of all, just want to say, sit down with Clayton Davis, your TV movie gets nominated, just saying. I just want to, like, point that out. So, Akiva, you're welcome. But, no, it's like, if TV movie does, like, listen, Reno 911, Chippendale, comedies, like, Oscars don't do that. So, for that, like, I think it does, it's really embracing of different types of things. However,
I mean, Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas. I'm thrilled because I was one of the people that was very upset when Zoe's got canceled from NBC, but
yeah.
I found it so interesting that all five, I mean, the Survivor is obviously a completely devastating story, but like all five nominees have IP built in. So it's like these people are already into these characters. I mean, Survivor's a true story.
And wait, and Survivor, by the way, wasn't even meant for TV. It got picked up at Toronto last year and HBO threw it on the platform. So yes, none of this is like original, quote unquote, like right. for the TV realm. But Zoe had the same exact noms as Dolly Parton last year. Just want to point that out.
I love your fact.
I never thought I would be seeing the word Roku on my Emmy ballot.
The Roku channel.
Hey, they had a bunch last year too.
I know, and every time I am like, huh?
Like what yeah. what is that?
I'm like, how do I watch that?
Listen, what's more random, seeing Roku or seeing Miss Pat?
Hey,
BET Plus.
Shout out to BET Plus. Not even BET Linear. It's like the streaming service version of BET. And they got two. BET Plus is on fire. Yeah. Like They got more than, wild. You know, a good chunk of networks, more than TNT or
Paramount.
And your
voters
are going to be going, where do I find BET Plus now?
That is true. Where do you find it? I don't know.
No clue.
Yeah. But so it's here. There's some really interesting things to discuss, I guess, with the acting stuff and with TV movie. This breathes to that because TV movie, except for Zoe, that has two noms in total, the others are just one. One and done, this category, no text, no nothing. So, what is a TV movie, I guess, in, like, why do they compete with limited series? Like, it's obviously not the same thing, and I'm not advocating for more acting categories. Lord knows we have too much already, but what, there is something to be said about all this just eating at one another and comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, in terms of like what having TV movie people with limited people,
just in general, because the lineup is like seeing Ben Foster try to compete with, you know, Colin Firth and Andrew Garfield and Oscar Isaac, thank God, and Michael Keaton, you know, it's hard to, you know, compare that. So I think they're you're at a disadvantage, really putting yourself in that race.
I'd agree with that.
Shout out to Seth Meyers, though, man.
Oh,
Seth,
my gosh.
Meyers. Finally,
I'm
sir.
So happy for him.
So happy.
Finally.
Mike was very excited in the morning. You squealed a little, Mike, when he got nominated.
Well, I do, and we haven't brought this up yet, but Emily, I mean, the EEs, the fact that every single, except for one, except for poor Natasha Lyonne.
I hate to say, except for two. Tracee Ellis Ross for Women.
Oh.
Which we, oh my God. I like literally keep forgetting that she missed.
And I will say one of my favorite show photo shoots we did. I was very bummed. But you know what? 8 of 10, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, that's still, that is solid. That is a solid percentage.
And one, of course, was Seth Meyers.
Yes. So that was great to see. Between that and also, of course, my Ray Sehorn, feeling pretty good.
That Ray Sehorn, by the way, hands down, pound for pound, the most open race this year, supporting actress drama of any category. I think six of the eight can win.
I just, it's so tough. We obviously, I was called Clayton this morning. I'm working on some trend stories. And I'm like, Clayton, I don't even know how to say who's the favorite here. I don't know. I can't pick. I don't.
Do you think the Succession folks maybe cancel each other out?
I feel really good that, I mean, listen, lock and change. We're just talking about this the day after. I feel really good that J. Smith Cameron and Sydney Sweeney will not be winning Emmys. Like, I feel like they won't. Like, or can't at the moment. I think any of the other six are up for grabs.
I mean, Julia Garner's there, and we've established she... She is the Emmy catnip, so...
I have this weird feeling that Jason Bateman's winning an Emmy this year. I think that's going to be Ozark's representation. I think he's going to win actor.
You think he's going to win actor?
So, let me pull up my stat. lead actor drama in the last decade has had so many winners for the final seasons of their shows. And Josh O'Connor, last year's cover, Matthew Reese, John Hamm, Jeff Daniels, Kyle Chandler, all in this last decade.
See, I would put an asterisk on Bob Odenkirk because I think a lot of people still, when they're voting, they're thinking that this is the final season. And this is the last chance, forgetting, of course, that the second half of this season is actually eligible next year and he will be back. But there might be that feeling of, maybe it's his turn.
Better Call Saul has not won a single Emmy in its entire run.
That's it's a literal crime.
It was a sad fact I learned.
Yeah. Well, better late than never.
Well, we know next year for final season, we're going to end up getting Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul back for guest actors. Know it's going to happen.
It's true.
That'll be exciting. I think Bateman, there's a chance that they may just give him the directing for a drama series.
He's already won that.
Yeah.
But directing is a bloodbath as well.
Yeah.
Shout out to women this year.
Shout out to women every year.
Every year. No, yeah, well, yeah. But shout out to women getting in the writing and directing races. And I don't know this for a fact, but I think it's the most that's ever happened.
I think it is too, because I got a few different releases about it. So I think you are right.
Yeah. And the women outdoing the men in comedy. That's never happened before. I think...
Women are funny.
Wait, what? Are women funny? No. Smile more, Emily. Smile more. That's what it is. And then, by the way, the other two are Atlanta, double nominee, Japanese double nominee. We have Asian representation this year, killing it. There's like a lot of good stuff. But I do think Only Murders is going to win directing. I feel pretty good. I feel like it's going to. I feel good about it. That boy from 6B is like the episode of the year. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed that James Cavalier wasn't nominated for guest, actually, for that. But
stop reminding me of all these things that didn't happen.
I'm sorry. God. So sorry.
Oh, it hurts so much.
So another little tidbit that Clayton, we talked about yesterday, was off year for SNL. I mean, obviously, they still got, a bunch of noms, but not like they normally do. They normally have many more in some of the supporting categories and, of course, in the guest categories as well. Still in sketch with just once again.
Ooh, beat the odds there. what a mountain to climb.
That was a hard one.
Yeah. Listen, this year wasn't a great SNL year in comparison to other years. This is a big reset that they're about to enter coming ahead. You know, Kate McKinnon's gone. I'm really shocked that Bowen Yang made it. And, like, that they didn't default to Keenan. They actively went Bowen. And I think now, and with just Jared Carmichael representing guests, I don't know when's the last time they had just one guest. But they did. So I think they need to, I don't know what they need to do.
I find it so, I think it's so telling that we talk about how, like, wow, SNL is barely represented this year, and then it has nine.
No, I know.
Like, it still has nine, not like so many shows would kill right. for that. And
it's just
like,
down from the normal, like 21 or
yeah. double digits, right?
Yeah.
It's worse totally. Since 2008, which is
yeah.
crazy, you know?
So let's see what else we talked about competition program briefly with Lizzo making it in, you know, a rare change of the guard there. So some of the classics, you know, RuPaul is still unstoppable, I think, but just happy yeah. to see My Amazing Race still in there. Still holding strong.
My God, Mike, you're stuffing
he
ballots.
Never leaving.
He's stuffing ballots. There are ballots at the bottom of the bucket when it starts. I'm convinced of it. And they all say Amazing Race on it. I'm pretty sure it's a runner-up in drama series too, probably, with Mike's influence here.
Probably.
I'm pretty happy that Love is Blind got a nomination
for scripted
reality. I was impressed by that because I like it. I think that's fun.
I thought The Circle had a better year. I wish The Circle had gotten in.
Mm. Well, but Love on the Spectrum also got three. So I think it's so great. Honestly, we've talked so much about how these reality, not competition, like reality series, any of those nominations are so hard to break into category wise. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so happy to see like they're mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I did smile when Selling Sunset got in. Sorry. I have no shame in that smile.
Yeah. I think a stat died yesterday that we didn't talk about, Mike. I think for the first time in Emmy history, no multi-camera sitcom made it into comedy writing.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, because last year was the surprise one. Was it Be Positive? Like there, something had a surprise one like last year or something. Or directing. It's one of those, like, there's always been a multicam. And there's,
I didn't
like,
realize that because there's so few multicams now that you'd think that there'd be other years where there weren't any nominated in writing.
Call me Cat Shade. I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. But yeah, no. And two Yellow Jacket writing nominations was very surprising as well. Very telling of some strength for that show.
I'm so happy about that. I could not be happier.
Masked Singer, that the rose is dead, the beast is still a beast.
Yeah, well, glad to see that not get anything this year given what they did this year with Rudy Giuliani. That did not help its case.
Yeah.
Couple of posthumous, of course, Chadwick Boseman.
We have Jessica Walter. All right, and I'm really asking this sincerely. How is that? She was posthumously nominated last year. So what are they using?
Well, you know, animation, it takes a long time for that to hit. So she probably recorded that a couple of years ago, and it just now made it.
I don't know, man. It's just feeling kind of Tupac level. Like, like we're getting so much music afterwards, and I'm like, where's Jessica Walter, man?
They found more stuff in the vault.
They found more recordings, right? Yeah.
She has, like, a new show coming out next year.
I don't, this is all suspicious.
Yeah.
There's all tech out there that you can record, that they can find old recordings and, like, basically give her a whole new series.
With Alexa now, you can do that. Oh, my God. Who's going to be the first one to use that for a submission?
Don't give people ideas.
Oh, God. Yeah. Norm MacDonald, though.
Yes.
First Emmy nom.
Aww. Yeah. Three Emmy noms.
Yeah.
Also for producing and writing.
Yeah. He's going to win Variety Special, too. I think that's going to win there. Because I don't think they're going to do Chappelle. I think we knew it was going to get in. I think they would know better than to vote for him there. But I think it'll be between Norm and like Adele, which is such an interesting sentence.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although, you know, there are Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. You know, that's the big fan base for Gaga, and of course the old guard may want to pay tribute to Tony Bennett as. He is
92.
I was about to say heading to the sunset.
He's like 90.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Such a dark man, Mike.
Go ahead. No, I was just gonna say the Oscars also got nominated for live special, of course. So I'm like, if it wins, like, does Chris Rock accept it? Because, like, let's be honest, that should happen, right?
Like, yeah, like, that would be incredible.
That would be amazing.
I
mean,
I really hope, I assume Live in Front of a Studio Audience is going to win, but, of course, my heart says the Super Bowl halftime show should win.
I think it is Super Bowl. That I really was, do. Yeah, it should be. It's the concert of the decade.
But don't forget, if Live in Front of a Studio Audience wins, Norman Lear will be 100.
And he's planning winner on, ever.
Yeah.
And he's planning on attending. Being there.
Yeah. It's like, I imagine they haven't had many 100-year-olds in the audience at the Emmys over the years. So that's pretty astounding.
What an icon.
Pretty astounding.
I do have a list of a couple things here real quick that we didn't talk about. Laurie Metcalf missing in supporting actress, but still getting guests. But Laurie Metcalf missing in for The Dropout was pretty surprising. And
what about Sam Waterston missing for The Dropout?
I mean,
Laurie Metcalf, I'm sorry, was in like 2 minutes of The Dropout. Sam Waterston had a full arc.
I mean, you're asking questions here, Emily, that you know the answer to. Tom Pelfrey finally pulled out an Emmy nom for Ozark, like after missing forever. So good for him. Martha Kelly, I love you. I'm so glad you're an Emmy nominee now. And what do we do about William H. Macy? Like, was it the makeup or was it just like, nah, we're good?
I think it was both. Now you're asking questions that I don't know the answer to.
Mayor Winningham. Sydney Sweeney, 2-1-2.
I mean, Euphoria got her that White Lotus one, right?
Ooh, I like that. I like that narrative. Because she's good in White Lotus, but she is, but great in
that's another totally show that they were literally nominating every single person that stepped. Like, I'm surprised the boat they rode in on was not nominated. Because I mean, like Steve Zahn was nominated and he had like three conversations. So
it was. It got production design, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So the boat was nominated.
We also did not talk about the moment that everyone Googled who's Sarah Niles, because that did not come. So I was like, who? And that's not shade to her. Then when we saw her, we're like, oh, therapist. So we know that. But like, I don't think I she was in Unranked Contenders, and I don't think I even realized I typed the name. Like, it was really that far out of my mind.
Yeah, there's a couple of cases of like actors nominated. I'm like, who? They're on Hacks. Who are they? I watched all of Ted Lasso. I don't remember this person.
Listen, but I was surprised that Christopher Walken made it.
Yeah,
like, and listen,
he's Christopher Walken.
I mean, he's a good part of
it. We're doing what we can to get him to the Emmys.
Again, I'm just comparing. He's in supporting actor, and Nathan Lane is in guest. And that doesn't make sense in my head. But that's just me. Just a man with a plan.
All right. I think on that note,
we're done.
We're going to have to take a break and continue this conversation next week, as maybe we dive deeper into some categories. We talk about what's going on and we actually interview people again, just like we did in the old days.
No, ooh, we have no interview policy moving forward. We don't write. We don't do anything. We just talk about the show Goliath.
Yeah, Award Circuit podcast turned into a Goliath fan podcast. Yeah. So listen, soon, so jarring.
It got one nomination. Listen, choreography. We'll talk about it. Let's go.
United States Val, Be Positive.
Yep, The Conners, How I Met Your Father.
Two.
Oh, by the way, How I Met Your Father.
Yeah. See, that could have been your multicam.
Yeah.
I mean, 911 Lone Star got stunned. So we should be talking about that.
But wait,
I think Jenny Moss an okay and I day. We are responsible for that.
Fox had a good day, like better than I would have thought. Like,
well,
on paper,
animation helps them because, you know, they still get the Simpsons stuff. So.
Oh my god, dude, Jesus,
and good old Bob.
The eye roll that Clayton is giving right now needs to be me.
Like, I loved the Simpsons in 2002.
I still love The Simpsons. I'm gonna go buy the arcade game on Variety. I'm gonna give Variety.com some e-commerce. And
can I say I did buy love the video the, game when Billy met Lisa? That short Simpsons episode.
That's actually
which
a
is
good
also
short.
Nominated.
No, it's a good short. Their shorts are always good. I'm talking about the show itself. And Survivor still holding on somewhat in spots.
That one solo with cinematography.
Listen, the year that they accept me will be the year gets back into competition program. I promise you.
Nope. Amazing Race there forever.
I mean, Mike White did it and he couldn't get Survivor back on there, but maybe if now he does it after White Lotus, he would.
Mike White also did Amazing Race and it got on there. So just saying.
Good call.
That is Mike White is shade. Everywhere. Mike White is the runner of things. Good job.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, get some sleep, everyone. Rest up because we still have a couple months to go. This thing ain't going nowhere. September 12 is still a while away. We'll have changed. We'll have at least three more COVID variants before then. So,
oh,
Michael,
Mike, what are you doing?
Let's stay safe. Wash those hands.
He's chosen violence. He's just like he's full on Cersei now. He's like done.
He's delirious. He needs sleep.
Yeah.
We all need sleep, guys.
And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Drew Griffith edited this episode, and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest Emmy predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Emily Longaretta, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you on the circuit.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.